Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is once again in session, and Steve and I are together again, so we're safe distance, but it's still good to see face-to-face, man. How you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Doing fine. So nothing can happen in Roger Stone world without us talking about it. I mean, he's become almost a folk hero to this show with his Batman villain.
I mean, he's
a caricature.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, if you took the Joker and the Penguin, and maybe even the Riddler, and mixed them all together, and made them, you know, a political pundit in DC, you would get Roger Stone.
And of course, we all know he was convicted of a felony, multiple felonies, sentenced to 40 months in prison, was due to report to prison on Tuesday, and you and I got together. Was it Friday or Thursday night? Talking about, I think it was Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. No, it was Friday.
It was Friday. Okay, and. And we were talking about whether or not, before we got together, we were talking about whether or not it would happen before Tuesday, and it's already happened. Yeah. So Roger Stone had a big celebration outside of his house, people wearing Roger Stone did nothing wrong shirts or something like that. He was holding his hands in the air in victory while wearing a mask and not social distancing at all in Florida, but that's a different story.
You know what, and you know, Trump put out a tweet, you know, I think it was last night, talking about, or maybe it was today, talking about how, you know, oh, you know, it was an illegal investigation. I mean, remember, the root of this investigation, this all started because George Papadopoulos was running his mouth and told the Australian government that, you know, that they got some information that Russia would be able to kind of tip things in their favor by releasing information about Hillary Clinton, right? So Australia calls us and says, hey, somebody from the Trump campaign says they may be getting help from Russia. You might want to look into it. U.S. gets that call from a friendly government, a friendly foreign government, a FFG as it's called, and they're going to take that serious, right? And so they dig into it. They look at George Papadopoulos. They look at Carter Page, and both these guys just wanted to be. They wanted to make money off of the political machine. They didn't care how they made money. They knew that working with Trump, that people, you know, like the shady people were throwing money at it, and they wanted in on it. They wanted to make a name for themselves. They didn't care how they did it. And if it was Russian, if it was Russia throwing money at them, whether it was the state or oligarchs or whatever, they didn't give a shit. And they talked a lot. They talked a lot on tape. And that's what ended up getting them investigated, right? So this idea that this shit just came out of nowhere because people don't like Trump is a completely false narrative.
Correct.
Right? Now, everything that I've said, you can go back and you can track. You can go back and you can see it right there, the transcript from the FBI on what Carter Page was saying and what George Papadopoulos was saying, right? I mean, and so all of a sudden, do we not trust the Australian government when they say, look, one of your people, you know, one of the people in his campaign are running their mouth? So the whole inception of this was not just some fairy tale that people hated Trump and that they were out to get him. It was his own people, because he surrounded himself with, you know, shady people that were cast off from the political machine because of their shady dealings, whether it was Manafort or Roger Stone or Mike Flynn or George Papadopoulos or Carter Page. Like, remember, Carter Page had been investigated back in 2013 for his dealings with Russia. So this whole idea that, again, this all came out of nowhere is bullshit, right? And the fact that Trump keeps spinning it and people keep buying it, his people, like, I mean, it just shows you how far off base they are.
I mean, he's a puppet master to a degree, and whatever he says, people are going to buy, and he's got at least one, if not two, cable news networks that will say he does no wrong. I actually give Fox credit for occasionally stepping up and calling bullshit, but OAN is just truly up his ass.
I mean, Fox is getting rid of people who do call bullshit on.
True.
Right? Like, one of the few remaining people is Neil Cavuto, and you have to wonder how long Neil Cavuto will be around, because he's just, I mean, Neil Cavuto, he's an economist, and, you know, he's questioning Trump more on a lot of his economic policies, where it's, you know, tariffs or you know, certain things with taxes and things like that. So, it'll be interesting to see how long, but you're right. I mean, it's Fox, it's OAN, and they will, you know, there's no criticism of Trump. I mean, the only place where, you know, there's an issue, the biggest issue with Trump and Fox is Fox uses, you know, the same polls that everyone else does, and they don't show him winning. So he, right, like, for that, like, just drives him
crazy.
Forgot
about that, yeah. And I got to give Chris Wallace some credit, too. He does that Sunday morning show, and he's at least partially, has at least 1 foot on reality. Yeah. Yeah, so, but other than that, yeah, it's pretty much straight up Trump's ass. Now, Tucker Carlson, jump the gun. So Roger Stone is his sentence commuted, which means he's still a convicted felon.
Right.
And everyone's making a big deal out of that. Robert Mueller said something about it. And to a normal person, that would actually be a big deal. Being a convicted felon would affect you from getting future jobs. And this guy's 67 years old. He's going to make it as a cable news, you know, contributor somewhere.
I mean, even if he doesn't, I mean, he'll write a book, I'm sure, and there'll be, I mean, his, I wouldn't be surprised if he does some made-for-TV movie or something like that, where he gets, I mean, like, he's going to get paid off of this.
Hold on, though. Isn't there a law that says you can't get paid off of committing a felony, or is that only, like, violent crimes?
I know he will,
but I'm saying, if he writes a book about this or does a movie about it, is... There's some law, and it typically has to do with murder cases, where if you kill someone and you're convicted, you can't write a book about that and profit off of it.
Right.
I don't know.
I
don't know the details of that law. But the point is, you know, people are making a big deal. He maintains a felony conviction, 67 years old, already rich, and...
I don't know how rich... I mean, I know he has access to money. I don't know how liquid rich he is. I mean, he was, you know, crying... You know, poor beggar, you
right.
know, during the trial, that he was out of money for his legal defense team. So, I mean, I'm not exactly sure where his finances are, but I'm sure that Trump and company will make sure that he's well taken care of. You know, I mean, you know, Stone, in his own words, even said that he didn't turn on the president, and he could have, and he basically should be rewarded for that. And this sentence commutation is exactly that.
Right.
And that's where, you know, don't be blinded by, you know, Trump saying that, oh, it was an illegal investigation from the first place. Because, again, it was not an illegal investigation. And Roger Stone's lies about that are directly tied to the whole reason why the investigation started in the first place. You know, there's a tangent connection. So this really bothers me. I think that this is something that hurts. You know, Trump talks about how he has reformed criminal justice, but I mean, this is not criminal justice reform. This is criminal justice abuse, you know, and this is just another example of why this guy is not doing the country any good.
Well, and I think that sends a bigger message too. If you stay loyal to me, I'll have your back, whether it's right after the election or as he's leaving office. Anyone who went down and stayed on Trump's side, I would bet big money, will get pardoned or have their sentence commuted. And this is...
Or in the case of Michael Flynn, they'll just drop the charges
after you plead guilty. But in the case of Michael Cohen, who was a great guy until he wasn't, and then, you know, opened his mouth, that guy didn't get any favors because he wasn't loyal.
Right. I mean, which I think it's interesting, in the same week that Roger Stone gets his sentence commuted, Michael Cohen a few weeks ago was released on house arrest because of COVID, and then pictures surface of him, you know, being at a restaurant and basically not being on house arrest, and bam, he's back in jail. So
right.
I think it's interesting that that happened in the same week that Michael Cohen goes back to jail and Roger Stone gets his sentence commuted.
You know, kind of consider Michael Cohen to be an idiot to put himself in
the spot. How stupid can you be? You know, I'm sure the rules are very clear on where you can go and what you can and can't do when it comes to, especially when it comes to federal house arrest. So the idea that he thought, or that there was any sort of miscommunication on where he was allowed to go, Like, and this isn't me speaking just off of assumption. I'm very, very familiar with how these orders look and how they're written and how they're explained to the defendant. So the idea that he didn't know where he was allowed to go, right, or he thought that he had some leniency to go to a restaurant is absurd. And this is 100% on him for putting himself in that position.
And also, when you're a well-recognized face in New York City, and,
right,
and,
exactly,
and you're in the news for getting out on house arrest because you filed a petition or whatever because of COVID, and then you're, I don't know if it was at Peter Luger's, I just like to think that that's where it happened. Because if I was going to get arrested for going to a steakhouse, that's where it would be. I've never been there, but I really always wanted to.
Okay.
All right, anyway.
Good to know.
It is kind of funny. All right, so you sent me an article about a guy named Blake Neff.
Yeah.
Former chief writer for Tucker Carlson. Now, you know how what high regard I hold Tucker Carlson in.
Yep.
But this guy got fired for...
He didn't get fired. Technically,
sorry, he resigned. He resigned. Okay. Thank you. He resigned because it came out that under a fake name, he was putting out all kinds of racist and sexist shit. I forget the fake name he used, but referred to some celibate former king of Sweden or something weird like that, which is just weird. And whenever I see someone gets fired for something on social media, I'm like, oh, how bad is it? This was bad.
Yeah, this was bad. Really bad. I mean, he was saying blatantly racist, misogynist, sexist things like that were intentional, right?
Right.
I mean, it was the whole point. I mean, he was trolling in its most disgusting form, you know, just saying some of the worst race baiting, you know.
The one that comes to my head was, we're probably seeing a drop in violent crime because black dudes are inside playing, you know, PlayStation or something like that. And by the way, he spelled dudes D-O-O-D-S. Which is hilarious to me because, like, you're trying to pretend you're making some point and then you are intentionally trying to sound stupid, like you don't know how to spell dude. He went to Dartmouth, by the way. So I'm guessing if you graduate from Dartmouth, you can spell the word dude correctly.
I'm sure that there's a meaning behind that.
Oh, is there? Okay. I think it was just a, I'm going to sound.
No, I don't. I think it's, yeah, I think there's something behind that. But, I mean, I don't get into the whole, you know, like there's a whole underworld in, you know, Reddit and 4chan, and it's this whole underworld of these guys. They're incels, which are
involuntarily celibate.
Yes, involuntarily celibate, and they're really angry at women because women won't have sex with them, so they think that they are like owed sex with women. Most of them have pretty aggressive racial views and they're just pretty gross human beings all the way around on the internet, and that's usually where they flex most of their muscles,
right?
Because in real life they can't on any form. You know, they're usually, you know, the guys that, you know, work in the mailroom or, you know, low level. Sometimes they can be some form of, you know, computer programmer, something, IT people, something along those lines, but, you know, really socially awkward, you know, not, I mean, and, but, I mean, that's you don't want to paint them all with a broad brush because, you know, you've got, who was the, Richard Spencer, right, who was kind of like the leader of the alt-right, who, you know, a lot of these people really came together under to support, and, you know, he had that rally in Charlottesville, and, you know, he had the support of the president until things got ugly and the president kind of distanced himself from him. But, you know, you just have these types of people. And, you know, this Blake Neff is one of those. You know, he had worked at Fox for 4 years, so it's very possible that he kind of came out of that 4chan Reddit world and then walked right into Fox and said, listen, let's keep this going. And, you know, he self-proclaimed that he was, you know, anything that Tucker Carlson was saying on his show, he was writing the first draft at minimum.
Right.
And so we know what this guy's mindset is, right? We know how he, you know, what views that he has. And then Tucker Carlson puts out a lot of things that can be directly correlated or related to white nationalism and you know, some pretty white supremacist racist views, and it's, you know, and so Tucker Carlson constantly fights, I'm not a white supremacist, I'm not a racist, but yet the things that he's saying in his monologues, you literally can line them up with people who are self-proclaimed white supremacists and white nationalists, and the statements align exactly, you know. And for the longest time, you know, there was an argument, maybe it's just a coincidence. I don't see how you could say that now, right? I mean, now your only argument is that, well, just because a white supremacist says X doesn't necessarily mean that the statement that they're saying is a white supremacist statement. But I mean,
I'd like a Big Mac. I'm sure some white supremacists have said that at some point.
Yes, exactly.
But
I mean, in this instance, with some of the stuff that he says in his monologues about, you know, not wanting diversity and that diversity is bad and that, things about immigrants and things that he said about black people in general, like, it's just like, all right, you're literally, I mean, now you're just, you're pulling the ultimate troll job. Right.
And he said, I mean, the things that went down with him and Tammy Duckworth in the last week, where he called Tammy Duckworth un-American and a coward. I'm like, she lost two limbs fighting for the country, Tucker. Do not.
Well, apparently, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, we've gotten to a point now where, you know, it's fine if you, like, they'll love you if you're a veteran, but if you don't align with their thoughts politically, then they're going to shun you. They don't care if you're a veteran or if you're a cop. They will immediately go on an attack. Now, the flip side is, the progressive left is the exact same way. If you don't fall in lockstep with our views on anything from trans people to Black Lives Matter to
pro-choice,
whatever, then you are out. We're going to condemn you. We want to cancel you. You're done, right? And so now they're both fighting with the same sword. When it comes to, you know, whether they're going to support or they're going to attack people.
You're not wrong. The difference is we don't have a lot of examples, or to my knowledge, any examples of a Rachel Maddow writer saying vicious things about white people or any other race of people.
You do have, you know, Julianne Reed, who she just recently got a time slot, or the 7 p.m. time slot on MSNBC, and she has written some pretty, you know, nasty things about gay people, and then, you know, she's like, I don't remember writing that. My blog got hacked or some bullshit like that. You've got plenty of examples of writers from the New York Times saying some pretty vicious things about white people in general, or, you know, people, you know, Republicans and conservatives that are pretty foul, that don't quite get the same amount of media attention as when a conservative says something racist. And that, again, that goes back to this whole idea of the media and their narrative, right? Because I've seen plenty, like, you go on Twitter, you see some of the stuff that people on the left write, you know, and it's well-known people, like, they get away with saying some shit that if conservatives said it about a black person or a black writer or whatever, they would get eviscerated.
Well, I think that there's a lot of Trump said, I know more than the generals, believe me. If Obama said that, but he would have been destroyed.
No. Like, Obama's not in the picture. Obama's been the president, and he's not.
It's an example.
It's a bad example, because this is happening in real time right now, right? With people who are holding positions for media companies that are writing articles, that are going on CNN and MSNBC and expressing their opinion. And then you have, you know, the people on the opposite side who are going on Fox or who just think differently. And that's something that has to be acknowledged. Like, you can't just sweep it under the rug and say, well, and take it back to Obama. That's problematic.
But my point is that
Trump's not getting away with it. Trump gets attacked.
Trump does get attacked.
I mean, Trump gets attacked by the media all the time. Like, you are saying racist shit. And Trump's answer is, no, I'm not. You just said it. No, I'm not. And if you are, then you just don't get it, because I'm so super smart. Trump is getting attacked for the shit that he says. Well, it's just that he just fucking shrugs it off.
He gets attacked for all kinds of stuff. I'm actually really annoyed with CNN, because they made a big deal out of, and here's Trump wearing a mask, and they were trying to do it like a, you know, rub your nose and shit kind of thing. And while I think Trump has been completely ignorant with how he's handled that aspect of this, and I see it every fucking day. I mean, we're currently in Cuyahoga County, Ohio, required, if we are outside, to have a mask on.
Yep.
If someone is in my truck with me, we are both supposed to wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
I went out and grabbed food earlier today. No masks. I mean, I wore one. And the truth is, once you go into the place to pick up food, you can take it off. You can potentially have a beer. I'm not saying whether I did or I didn't.
Why?
But whatever. Just relax. But
everybody knows you had one.
Anyway, so some dude sits next to me and says, you know, I'm not wearing a mask. And they were like, well, you have to have one. He goes, oh, I've got one in my pocket. I'm just not wearing it. I'm like, okay, then you're kind of an asshole.
Okay, so tie it back to Trump.
Well, Trump getting out there saying, you look weak if you wear a mask, I'm not wearing a mask, empowers that mentality. And has. And I'm mad at him for this whole stretch of time. And then I'm mad at CNN for he finally does the right fucking thing. And you have to make a deal out of it and say, oh, look at it. He's finally doing it. Just grow the fuck up, CNN.
Okay. And that's fair. But I think to my broader point with this whole thing with Tucker Carlson and his writer, his writer is clearly a shitty guy. And it's good that he resigned. It'll be interesting to see if anything happens with the way, I mean, because Tucker Carlson, number one ranked show at that time slot, yeah. On cable news. He's had plenty of success with it. The people who watch it like it. So does any of it change? I don't know. It seems like the guy's been there for 4 years. I'm sure other people have been there for 4 years. I'm sure that they'll be able to pick up where he left off. It won't be hard.
Finding another racist guy who's smart right. enough not to get caught on social media shouldn't be too hard. Now, we're releasing this on July 12th. So we're also recording on Sunday, July 12th. Apparently, Tucker Carlson said he will address this tomorrow.
Okay.
So listen to our show and then listen to what he has to say.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he says about it. I think he will probably condemn the guy and the things that he said specifically, but then acknowledge the great input and additions the guy was to the show, and he wishes him well and hopes that he gets the help that he needs,
This isn't a reflection of the real Blake Neff. Well, actually it is. When you do shit multiple times over 4 years, when someone blurts out a racial slur, I don't think their life should be immediately destroyed because of it. This guy tactically and carefully wrote shit over a period of years and didn't have the balls. I mean, of course, he couldn't have the balls to put his name on it, but that's just another thing that's shitty about social media is I hide behind some bullshit pseudonym and can say whatever the fuck I want. Yep. And that's, I mean, I know people who've got 10 to 30 Twitter accounts and they trolled everyone. I'm like, that's a big part of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I make sure that on all of our social media, like our faces are there. And so people can see who we are, because I think, you know, that whole thing of hiding behind, you know, a picture that isn't you and a name that isn't yours, with, you know, no sort of way to identify who you are, it allows you this freedom to say, you know, things that you just wouldn't say, right? I mean, and that's why people do it, because it's like, oh, well, I don't want to lose my job. You know, I want to say some of the dumbest shit that I could possibly say, but I it's just like you believe in it so much, but yet you know at the same time, and then, you know, but they'll flip it back on you and say, oh, well, it's because, you know, we live in PC culture and, you know, everyone's too sensitive and, you know, I can't risk it. But it's just like, all right, then what the fuck are you saying it for?
Right. If you're trying to, and there are people out there who just want to stir shit up, and that drives me fucking nuts. I've got one friend who's texting me directly, but he's sending me all these stupid things, and I finally said, why are you sending this? And he's like, I want to trigger you. I'm like, it's very clear you're trying to trigger me, which is why it doesn't work, because I know it's what you're fucking doing.
Yeah, I mean, there's someone that we both know who does, you know, similar things, just constantly sends, you know, video clips and shit like that, and it's just like, okay, I may watch all of it, I may watch some of it, I may watch none of it, but I generally ignore it. Like, I mean, I just don't respond. It's just like, all right, you're literally just trolling for the sake of trolling. I don't know, because you're bored or just I don't know, but you know, there's a lot of people out there like that, and what this shows is that those people are finding their way into influencing media, influencing politics, influencing policy, you know, on a large scale, and it's a scary time. And, you know, and I have issues. I'm sorry, I have issues with people who do this on either side of the aisle. You know, I mean, really, you know, people on the progressive left that will shout down, you know, anything that's white is racist, or anything that is that deals with men is misogynistic, or, you know, if you say anything that criticizes a gay, lesbian, trans person, then you're, you know, a homophobe or a transphobe or something along those lines, and they attack people and they say really nasty, gross, vicious things that, you know, I mean, like, what's crazy is that you have these people who say some of the just meanest, vile things to people that they don't like politically, and a lot of it comes from the left. Like, oh, Laura Ingraham, I want to see you raped and quartered, and Ann Coulter, you know, oh, if I ever get my hands on you, I'm going to, you know, they say these terrible fucking things. And I'm sorry, that's not right. It should not be acceptable. And that shit needs to be called out. Like, if you're going to call out this fucking dipshit, Blake Neff, then all those people, whether they're no name or if it's a, you know, Anna Navarro or Sonny Holston or you know, these other people who just, you know, think that, oh, well, I'm on the right side of all of this because I support Black Lives Matter and I support all the gay and lesbian, all the things and blah, blah, blah. So I can say whatever I want to say as long as I'm attacking the fascists. Like, no, you're still being a shitty human, right? Like, you can attack these people on the merits of what they're saying or the lack thereof. You can attack them just by attacking their arguments, like, factually, right, without going to these personal attacks and just going to these really gross things that people go to.
Attacking ideas, I'm all for. If someone has something out there like, you know, COVID-19 should have been cured because there were 18 more of them, and you put that on my social media, I'm, depending on my mood, going to say either it's called that because it was found in 2019, or you're a fucking moron. That's a personal attack. Fuck.
Yeah.
But I stand by it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just, and but when you...
But the point that I very poorly tried to make was that if you're attacking the concept of what they're saying, I mean, you shouldn't be threatening people physically, especially threatening, you know, people with... threatening to rape Laura Ingraham is completely unacceptable. Anyone ever did that?
I mean, the thing is, like, this is stuff you can go on their Twitter, and yeah. I mean, and a lot of them put it out there all the time, and they're just like, and, you know, part of this is on Twitter, right? This is why conservatives attack Twitter all the time, because you can see shit like that on Twitter, and nothing happens. The people don't get, you know, suspended, blocked, deleted, whatever, and it's out there, and there is a double standard in terms of what is acceptable and what is not for shitty commentary on social media.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the shit that some of these conservative people say, yeah, I think it's pretty bad. I don't think it should be out there. But at the same time, there needs, that same standard should be held for people on the progress. But the toothpaste is out of the tube. It's so far out, I'm not sure how you rein it in, right? And if you do, it's going to feel like, you know, suppression and oppression and everything else, because everything is oppressive now.
I hear that all the time. I can't say anything anymore. I'm like, well, you can. You can say pretty much anything. Saying it without consequence is another thing, but I can't tell you how many times. Yesterday, I was at a place having a party, well, get together, whatever, and someone said, I don't like this white wine. And two people are like, oh, you're racist. I'm like, okay, I know you think you're being hilarious, but that's the same mentality of, you set a color, therefore people are going to respond, and they're acting like it's the end of the world. I'm like, just, can we, A, be realistic, and B, quit with the corny fucking jokes?
Yeah. I mean, Jim doesn't like anyone making jokes except him, because he's the resident comic.
No, that is not true.
That is 100% true. Unless you're around other official comics, then it's allowed.
That's bullshit. I don't like shitty people. I'm sorry, they're not shitty people, good people. I don't like good people making shitty jokes, especially if it's being made 500 times in a row. Anytime someone says white wine, oh, that's racist. Sorry, I've heard that like 10 times in the last month, and it annoys the fuck out of me. It would have been funny the first two. Stop.
Sounds like you're hanging around the wrong people.
Well, currently, I agree.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't hang out with me either. but, yeah, I mean, I just, You know, and we'll see what Tucker Carlson says. I mean, I think it's pretty predictable what he's going to say. He's going to appreciate all the guy's contributions to the show. He's going to condemn the stuff the guy did, and he's going to. It completely caught him by surprise. This was so unexpected. It's unacceptable. But Blake really contributed some great things to the show, and we wish him the best. And hopefully, he gets the hate out of his heart. Blah blah blah. Yada yada yada.
I will not be at all shocked if he then leads. That leads into a big segment about cancel culture and how the left is destroying everything.
Yeah, that's okay. Yes, exactly. That's exactly how it goes. I promise.
This was called out on July. This will be published before he says it. So
it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see exactly the order that it comes in and the specific details around it. But we know what it's going to say. So moving on.
Yes. So did you hear what Joe Biden said this week?
Yeah, I mean, I know. I mean, if you want to say specifically,
I was going to say no, I haven't because I haven't heard a thing from the guy.
All right, so Biden's, you know, marijuana cannabis came up with Joe Biden, and you know, cannabis is currently scheduled as a Schedule I drug, which correct. Puts it up there with heroin. You know, Biden's big plan for cannabis is to move it to a Schedule II, which puts it in line with cocaine.
Correct.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, even moving it to Schedule 3 with, like, anabolic steroids just makes no sense, right? I mean, like, the move for any, I think you're starting to get some Republicans to come around on this, is just to legalize it. Because continuing to criminalize it still creates problems and, you know, inequities and injustices from a legal standpoint, and it's an antiquated decision, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, and there's more and more science supporting the legalization of cannabis, and it's limited because of the current scheduling of cannabis. Like, we can only do so much research, right? So we're stuck there. So if they legalize it, I mean, we can really start to begin to maximize our ability to understand, assess and analyze its overall benefits and start to put it to good use.
With federal funding, correct.
Right.
But now, what people should know is, what Schedule I means is the government says this has no potential for medical use. So that's why you can't get federal funding to study it.
Oh, really? Thank you for educating me.
Can I finish my point?
Go ahead.
You know what? No, I'm not.
Okay. What is your point?
My point was that the point you just made is that's why it is. That's what Schedule I means. And the reason cocaine is actually Schedule II is cocaine used to be used as a local anesthetic. So even though cocaine is a far more dangerous drug, they're saying that is a safer drug than marijuana, which is patently insane.
Yes.
And while you may know that, not everyone does.
I think our listeners are pretty smart, and for the most part, probably have a good understanding of that.
Okay.
But there may be some out there who don't, so...
All right, now...
Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Calm down over there.
Me?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah. Ohio State Rep. Nino Vitale.
Yes.
Straight out of a Godfather movie. Says something incredibly stupid that would come out of some stupid politician's mouth in a Godfather movie. Says for people in Ohio to stop getting tested because the positive tests are the number of people getting tested are increasing the number of positive tests, which make Ohio look bad.
Okay, well, he's correct. If you look for something, you're more likely to find it. I should say, if you don't look for something, you won't find it because this is a specific test.
It's this idea. And Trump initially put this out there by saying, well, you know, the more people that get tested, the more positive tests that you're going to get, right? I mean, he floats it out there. So this guy follows up with this idea that, oh, stop getting tested, right? Like, listen, the more people that get tested, the more you understand, it's more data, right? I mean, it's just like, and it's not necessary, they say it's a bad thing for the numbers. Well, if you have more people getting tested, and you have people that are testing positive but are asymptomatic, then look, that's good, right? It drives the percentages in people's favor, right? I mean, but the problem is that along with the more people getting tested, you're getting more positive tests. We're seeing an increase in hospitalizations, right? I mean,
in some states it's crazy,
right? I mean, first of all, Florida had 15,000 positive new cases yesterday. That's the highest number recorded since this whole thing fucking started.
I think they broke it with the last number.
Okay, well, Florida
is going nuts.
Florida's doing what Florida does, which is called Russia-ing. The more you know, the better. Right? I mean, like you've got a pandemic, you've got a virus broken out that is causing a lot of problems. And as much as people want to downplay it, 130,000 people, that number is probably not even accurate. It's probably off by a third. Okay, if it's off by a third, then you got 100,000 people. Either way, it's killing more people than pretty much anything else that kills people in the United States. You know, I mean, like people, oh, it's the flu. The flu kills 20,000 people a year, roughly. Right, I mean, you know how many people die of gun violence in the United States?
30,000 a year.
15,000.
Okay.
15,000. All right. So right now you have a what?
10 times. Almost 10 times.
Almost 10 times better chance of dying of COVID than you do of dying of a gunshot wound. And the way in the way we talk about gun violence in this country, you would think that hundreds of thousands of people are dying every year.
True. Right?
I mean, but that's not the case. It's 15,000. Now listen, 15,000 people is a lot of fucking people, right? That's five times. Like that's 9/11 five times, right?
Right.
That happens every year. All right, this COVID-19 has killed at least 100,000 people, and I'm willing to acknowledge that some of those are probably not accurate, right? And but even still, if it's 100,000 people and the number is continuing to climb, that is a fuck ton of people every year.
And these other countries, I would say, and the other argument I'm hearing all the time is, but they're back to work in South Korea. They're back, yeah, because they stuck with the plan of flattening the curve, and you can see the data.
All the way through.
All the way through, right.
All the way through.
We said this, I know I said this, I think I said it on the show. The worst case scenario is to half-ass this.
Yes.
To slap down the economy and then say, fuck it, we're good, before you are.
You said that back in May.
Okay.
You said that back in May on this show, you said the worst thing that we could possibly do is get, because that's when they started talking about reopening things, and that's when DeWine here in Ohio started talking about reopening things. That's also around the time that Amy Acton said, you know what? I'll see you later. She was our head medical person in charge, and she took another position. And I think that she did that because she knew that they weren't going to commit to really flattening this curve and keeping it down, and no one was going to listen to her and saying, we need to stay shut down, we need to keep the social distancing, we need to mandate masks. And when they said, well, we're not going to do that because it's going to hurt the economy too much, she said, all right, fine, fuck it. I wash my hands of it. You guys do whatever you're going to do. I'll be over here doing the other thing.
She was also getting death threats, and and people were like, I think someone published her address.
Yes, they published her address, and they were saying some anti-Semitic things. I guess she's Jewish.
I'm not sure, actually.
I looked it up. She is Jewish. I'm not sure if she married into it or not, but she's a practicing the Jewish faith. And, I mean, so she was taking a lot of heat, and criticism. I don't think that's necessarily why she moved positions. I really think it was more from a policy standpoint. The state wasn't willing to continue with, and there was a cost. Like, depressing the economy is definitely, it's a hell of a decision. I wouldn't want to be in DeWine's shoes. I think he did the best that he could. Ohio's seeing an increase in cases, and we're seeing an increase in hospitalizations, like, all the other states that opened. But we're lagging behind those, which is good. We're not Florida. We're not Texas. We're not those places where the numbers are just booming. And those governors are really, struggling to get a hold of it. But they're still in a hell of a position that I don't envy. And for this guy to come out and say, stop getting testing, is just so ridiculous, right? I mean, and this is something that I tied directly to Trump, just with his leadership on this and the things that he puts out there. And it's problematic. Like, listen, we need to know who has this, right? Whether they're asymptomatic or not, we need to know who has it. So one, whatever treatment we have available, we can get it to those people, but then we know where it is and we know where it's spreading, and we can begin to figure out exactly how contagious it is, because it seems like it's a very contagious disease. And this whole idea that it's a hoax and it's not that bad, like, we have to you know, people have to get past that. You have to get past your bullshit conspiracy theories, which are born out of fear, right? Like, you don't have control, you don't know what it is, so you're afraid, so you want to say that you don't believe anything that the government's saying. You'd rather believe some memes that are put out on the fucking internet, which anyone can make a meme. Anyone can make a picture and put words on it and put some small print on the bottom and say it's true. Right?
And attribute the quote and to whoever you want.
I mean, people do this shit all the time. They take a picture of Keanu Reeves as John Wick. They'll say some shit about being a lone wolf, and then they'll put it out there, and they're like, God, Keanu killed it again with this quote. Like, Keanu Reeves, like, if you know Keanu Reeves, there's no way he said anything remotely close to some of the quotes that are attributed to him, right? Because of the movie John Wick or whatever. But it's just, like, so we can't, people have got to stop using this shit as basis for arguments on how to deal with a virus that's killing people at a ridiculous clip.
And the same stuff gets, every time, I mean, whether it's social media or in person or whatever, I hear people spew the same shit, and I'm like, I know exactly what's coming next. The big thing now is all these COVID deaths are rigged by the hospitals because they want to make money off of it. And by the way, hospitals are losing tons of money because of this. But, they'll say, well, if someone dies and they test positive for COVID, they're calling it a COVID death. So if someone falls off a cliff, it's a COVID death. And I'm like, just stop it.
Right.
That if that, you said it might represent 30%, I'm going to give it 3.
I'm pulling a number
out of my ass. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I mean, it's a big country. Who knows? I mean, like, I just...
It's an easy talking point to allow people to deflect from reality.
But even if think about it. Even if you give them 30%.
It's still a disaster.
It's still a six-digit number in terms of the number of people dead. And for me, I have to take it serious. Like, it's just hit me too close to home multiple times. Right? A guy that I played college football with, who's not that much older than me, is dead from this disease exactly. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He got COVID. He went into the hospital. He didn't make it out. He is dead. Gone. He lost his mother to the same fucking disease. Right? Like, 3 months earlier, he lost his mom, and then he dies from it. Right? My sister got it. My sister still can't fucking breathe from this thing. You know, I mean, like, she's still struggling with it. She had to go back to the hospital twice because of chest pains, and they were worried that she had blood clots. Right? A woman at my job died from this. This is very real to me, and those aren't, well, maybe it was COVID. No, it's exactly, these people were fucking fine, and then they weren't. Right? Like, and listen, I'm sorry, I've never met a person who died from the flu. I haven't. Right? And now I know two people that have died from this thing, and my sister had it. My sister's still not right. So I'm sorry, to me, this is real. This isn't me being a puppet of the government or me being manipulated or whatever. I'm seeing it in real fucking time, and there are people that I know that if they get this, based on the science of what we know it does to the human body, it will fucking destroy them. So I'm sorry that I take it fucking serious. I'm sorry that I wear fucking masks. I'm sorry that I'm, you're scared. You're living your life in fear. Fuck you. You live your life in fear every fucking day. Everybody does.
Right.
Everybody's afraid of losing their job. Everybody's afraid of fucking dying. You know, the same people who say, oh, you're living in fear will fucking walk around strapped to the fucking gills, you know, with a gun on their ankle and a gun on their fucking waist. Right. But again, what are the actual chances that they're actually going to be in a fucking gunfight? What are the actual chances that they're going to be in a situation where they're going to actually need that gun? Right?
Right.
Like, fucking minimal. Right? But they will fucking run around and scream and shout about their need for fucking guns. And I am one of them. Right? But part of it, like, I can openly admit, I like guns. Guns are cool. Right? But I can also admit that I've been around guns my entire life. Right? I've trained with people who, their life is guns. Right? I spent a small amount of time in a military situation where they trained us with guns, right? So I'm familiar with them. But that being said, like, I don't walk around with some fear that I'm going to get shot one day or that a roving gang of miscreants is going to roll up to my house and I need to shoot them, right? I mean, it's just, like, it's reality. But the reality is that this fucking disease has killed people around me. And it's made people around me sick, and they're not right. So I don't want to get it, and I don't want to spread the disease to someone else. And listen, if the masks don't work, I would rather find out after the fact that I was wrong and the masks don't work than not wear it and find out I was wrong and they did work and I got somebody sick and I fucking killed them.
You know, I want to, so something that was said to me that I want to do this because I don't understand how people even believe this bullshit, but someone said to me, these masks don't filter out particles nearly small enough. The virus is this size and blah, blah, blah. I've spent most of my career doing sterilizing filtration. I know more about removing microorganisms from air and liquids to prevent contamination of pharmaceutical products than the average person out there. And what that guy said was technically true. The mask will not stop a single viral cell, but it will stop projected particulates from your mouth, which I had a weird experience the other day where I went to breakfast and I was talking to a friend and we were separated and had glass around us, whatever, but the light was coming right through. And every 3 minutes she was like, "I'm sorry, I keep spitting at you." And I'm like, "You're not, you're just talking." People do that when they talk. And you're right, the science was not perfect when we started, still not. There's still questions out there. The fact that part of the reason we didn't have this stuff in effect is because John Bolton dismantled the pandemic response team, which I'm guessing, well, that was in 2017, right?
Yes.
So, thanks, John. Write another book, douchebag.
Yeah. Well, you know, and in terms of your statement about particulates and things like that, we talk on these microphones all the time. And in, I remember when we had the other ones, the other microphone covers, like the orange and the yellow or whatever. Like I remember once I smelled mine. I was like, "Oh, that's disgusting." Right? And then like I looked at it. I was like, "Ooh, it's even grosser." Right? And I was disgusted for
that's why we moved to black mics so we didn't see the scum.
Right. Like, I mean, it's, but I mean, like, that's just that it happens when people talk.
Right.
And so in that, the shit that comes out of your mouth, right? Literally
and figuratively. Okay.
Right? The in that stuff, that's how the virus transfers, right? Like, I mean, that's what they're talking about. You know, the virus just kind of floating around, you know, on its own as a little cell. Like, that's not really the issue. Like, that thing is going to make it out and get hit by sunlight and probably be dead, right? But when it's sitting there and it's hanging in your spit or snot or whatever
for an extended period of time, each time you speak.
Right. And then it lands on you, it lands on me. We can't see it or feel it or whatever. And then, God forbid, you sneeze or something like that. Then that's how the thing theoretically could spread. You know, and it's the idea of, you know, I mean, it put very simply, it's the idea of, listen, if I have to pee, right, and I'm in public, you would rather me have pants on and I pee on myself and my pants absorb most of it than me just not, and I'm just sitting there with my dick out pissing on your shoes, right? I mean, like, that's the whole point of a mask, right? It's not going to stop everything, but it's going to stop enough of it so it's not getting on other people. Right? I mean, it's a gross analogy, but I mean, it's the same fucking idea, just on a much smaller scale. And if that, listen, and maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it doesn't. Okay, but wouldn't you rather be safe than sorry? Right? And the whole idea that Bill Gates is behind it, and it's this whole you fucking conspiracy theorist people, you sound like flat earthers, and some of you are flat earthers, so we're going to put you in your own special corner. But the rest of you with these conspiracy theories, like, just because you're mad because, well, I can't trust the media and I can't trust the government, I don't trust anybody, I only trust my Google and other people who Google like me. Right? I only trust that, and it's all a lie. Oh, okay, then to you there is no truth. Right, and you're just out here spinning in circles and fucking conspiracy theories, right? Like, you're not helping anything, you're not solving anything, you're just putting shit out into the universe, right? Like, put a fucking mask on and go back in, or you know what? Just stay in your mom's basement. How about that? Just stay in your fucking mom's basement. Keep Googling, and the longer you stay down there, then the better it is for everybody.
Let me say two more things. One, you basically just used the famous NRA line, only for masks, not guns. It's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So please apply that logic, and we'll be better off.
Right. And go out with your gun and your mask.
Yes.
Now you've solved all the things.
And I forget the other thing.
This isn't, I'm sorry, your city and your state asking you to wear a fucking paper mask is not oppression, and it's not tyranny. All right, you want to see oppression and tyranny, then go to places where oppression and tyranny exist on full scale. Right? Like, you want to see that shit, there are places in Africa where you can see oppression and tyranny. There are places in Eastern Europe where you can see oppression and tyranny at its best. It's not people walking around in masks. All right, Japan is a pretty fucking free, open place, and they're not having any issues walking around in masks. They're still very productive people making a lot of fucking money off of us.
Yeah. And to your point, we don't know if masks work. Well, South Korea, Japan, and most of Europe would tend to argue that we've proven that with those models. And I also want to say there's another thing flying around that is absolutely fucking ignorant, is that you can't, you're You're going to go into oxygen debt if you wear a mask. No, you're not.
You're not.
Is it fun? Is it comfortable? No, but there's
some guy argued with me on Twitter. So a guy argues with me on Twitter and says, it reduces your oxygen. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. I know. I had to wear it, and I passed out, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, listen, I don't know what mask you were wearing, and I don't know the conditions that you were, but wearing not even an N95 mask, all they're asking us is to wear, you know, these half-ass cloth surgical, not even surgical, you know, just something to cover your mouth. Like, it's not. Like, there have been, we've seen, there's the science proves that it doesn't reduce your oxygen. And the guy puts up a picture of what he had to wear. It was a fucking, respirator, you know, the helmet with the tube and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that is 100% different than me wearing a piece of cloth over my face, right? It's just 100% different. That is apples to steak, right? I mean, it's not even fruit to fruit comparison. That is just completely different. But, you know, wearing a mask, listen. I wore a mask over my face. I was working out the other day, right? It was 103 degrees in the gym, humid, packed with people. It was just brutal, right? Okay. I wore a mask the whole time, right? I mean, now by the end of it, I ended up taking it off towards the end because the mask was now useless because I was so sweaty.
Yeah.
And the material that the mask is made out of, the sweat was... Like, there was so much sweat that it was, just spraying everywhere. I was like, all right, this thing may not... This thing may be hurting more than it's helping at this point. But that... Me wearing that mask didn't prevent me from being able to work. I was still able to work out at a high level. I was taking short rest periods and working at, 80% of my bench max and doing other things, staying active the entire time, dragging a sled, pushing a sled. No problem, right? If it was going to deplete me of oxygen, then at some point in time, I would have passed out. Or I would have had to pop it off I would have been more out of breath than normal. And it's just get the fuck out of here with that.
And I belong to Planet Fitness, and Planet Fitness's new rules are they're very clear. You wear it while you're on your way in. You wear it through to where you're going. When you're doing cardio, you can take it off, put it back on before you go to decontaminate your machine. Again, I don't know if that protocol is perfect, but I know it's better than doing nothing, and it hurts no one.
And I think that—so my issue with the gym protocol, because most gyms, you have to wear them coming in.
Yep.
Wear them going out. Okay. But if I'm not wearing it while I'm working out, right? I tried to wear it, I'm just thinking, listen, and the reason why I think about this is I was squatting the other day, and heavy amount of weight on my back, I come up. I'm on rep 3 of 6, and on coming up for that fourth one, a giant whatever came out of my mouth, and it flew more than 6 feet, and I saw where it landed, right? And this actually almost ended up hurting me because I watched it in slow motion. Now, mind you, I've got 500 plus pounds on my back, and I watched it land, and I'm like, huh, that's probably why masks are beneficial. And then, finish it, but... That just got me thinking, we should probably be wearing masks in here. If we're serious about it. And listen, another reason I'm concerned about this, a good friend of mine, I tell you about him. He's a Cleveland police officer. He's a good guy. They call him Batman. He's a Steeler fan.
I thought you said he was a good guy.
He's a great guy. He's a winner. But he's been fighting cancer for 3-4 years now.
Okay.
And, he would come into the gym. He's been wearing a mask in the gym for as long as I've known him, because not quite as long as I've known him, but for the last 3 years, this guy has been wearing a mask in the gym because he has to, because his immune system can't take it, right? If he gets sick, that could be his life. And unfortunately, he's in the hospital right now struggling, and it's not because of COVID, it's just because he's got cancer and he's been going through chemo and radiation and all that stuff for the last few years. And I'm legitimately concerned about him, but you wear a mask for a guy like that, here's a guy I don't blindly just say, I love the police, respect the police. I'm very neutral on the police, right? They have a job to do. If they do it right, good. They're supposed to. If they do it wrong, we call them out. But David is a good man, and he does his job. And he's open about the difficulties of his job. He's open about the problematic people in his job. He's open. He's aware of it. yeah, he's a little, he's been rubbed the wrong way from all different sides of this whole thing. But he's honest and he's open. And even with everything he's got going on, he's very genuine. He's done stuff for, you know, kids in inner city Cleveland that, you know, where he works. He's an active member of our gym. And he's just a good guy to be around, right? And he's a little hard-headed when it comes to the Steelers, but that's okay.
No, it's not.
But a guy like him, that's why I wear a mask, right? Because you never know when there's a guy like David walking around. You know, like, you may not necessarily see him coming in the store, and God forbid, you don't want to be the person. I don't want to be an asymptomatic person who carries this thing. Something comes out of my mouth, lands too close to him, he ends up getting it, and that ends up being a fucking death sentence for him. I don't understand why that's so hard for people to fucking grasp. That, like, that's the part that blows my mind, is that we're so self-centered, right? And we're so, everybody wants to be a victim of this and that because they don't like Black Lives Matter and they don't like this and the progressive left and, you know, white people are the enemy, blah, 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 blah. Right? So now everything has got to be just so about them and them feeling oppressed somehow, some way, even if it's this ridiculous idea that maybe you wearing a mask might help or save the life of another fucking human being.
Right. And someone else I saw post from someone I went to high school with, why do I have to wear a mask? If you wear a mask, yours works, right? And I wrote back, nope, that's the whole fucking point, is my mask protects you from me and your mask protects me from you. Right. And if we both do it together, and they've done, there's so many things out there that have shown that if everyone does this, it's just a bit reasonable. And this is, I mean, to point at America now and be a bit negative, this is why we can't have nice things. I would love to be able to, you know, buy a beer at one bar and walk down the street and finish it and then throw it into a recycle bin. I would love to be able to do that. But as soon as I walk out of that bar, I'm breaking the law. Why? Because, well, it's a dumb law anyway, but I know a few places where they allow people to walk around and do that. Litter everywhere. We just can't be responsible and just can't be reasonable.
Vegas isn't bad.
Well, because Vegas will beat the shit out of you if you do that. But, I mean, and it's not as bad as it wasn't that bad at the place I went to. It was East Aurora, New York, is what I'm talking about. But anyway, all right, let's move on.
Yep.
Because Ghislaine Maxwell, is it Ghislaine?
Oh, we'll go with Ghislaine.
We'll go with Ghislaine Maxwell, former compadre of the late.
Apparently it was his girlfriend, Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend. They keep saying that they were a couple and everything I'm seeing. I never understood. Like, I watched a couple different documentaries on Epstein, and she's in all of them. Her role is about the same in terms of basically the recruiter and, like, the liaison between Jeffrey and the girls. And she was, like, her role was kind of ambiguous, but now she's being labeled as his girlfriend. It doesn't fucking matter. He's dead. We'll get to where we think she's going to end up later. But, you know, so she's asking for bail. She was arrested, you know, last week or the week before in New Hampshire, of all places, which I still think is just bizarre.
Well, I heard her explanation for that, and that was she wanted to get out of the spotlight, so she took a bunch of money and bought this big house on 180-some acres, and she thought she could kind of just lay low and get out from under the stink of Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay, I agree with all that, but you do it someplace else, not United States. You are a wanted fugitive. Right?
Well, she hadn't been charged with anything at the time.
She was, like, you have to know that, like, okay.
Look, you're right. I'm not arguing with your logic. Right.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you have to know that the way this thing is going down, that they're coming for you. Like, they're going to send some dude that looks like fucking The Rock after you because you are that high on their shit list. So why you would stay here, I don't know.
So,
but she's, you know, so they've got her in a New York holding facility. She's asking for bail, which I cannot imagine that she's going to get.
The terms she offered were pretty amazing. $5 million and home confinement with an ankle bracelet.
Yeah, no. There's no fucking way a judge is going to get her.
I agree with you completely. It won't happen. The judge won't do it because you don't want to be the judge that did it. But I would almost rather have her there. I don't want her to mysteriously end up dead, too. Because,
like, listen, I don't think she's... First of all, I don't think she's safe anywhere from getting suicided.
All right.
Well. You know, I mean, I don't think there's anywhere she can go. I think they can get to her in prison. They can get to her at home on house arrest. They can get to her wherever, whoever. Like, and I don't know who they is.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. All I know is that there are a lot of people from British royals to former presidents to apparently senators. There's a jewel thief apparently who told the Daily Mail that, you know, she's got video of some pretty high up people having sex with minors. Like, and she has that specifically for this reason.
Your point of we don't know who they is, that's exactly why we need to find out who they is. And right. One thing that I've not heard anyone argue against this. I mean, I know every time I talk or watch Fox News or One America News, you see Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein with their arm around him. I've been a Bill Clinton supporter for the most part on the show, and when I was younger, I very much was. If he's part of this, if he was going there and
burn them all.
Yeah, exactly.
I got no issue. I don't care. Bill Clinton, Bill Cosby, Bill Nye, I don't
Bill
give
Gates.
A shit.
Bill, if Bill Gates did that, I would have a problem. He didn't cause the COVID, but if he was going to Epstein Island.
Yes. I just think, you know, does going to Epstein Island necessarily mean it? No. But if there is evidence of, you know, improper relationships with minors, and fucking burn them.
Absolutely.
Burn them.
Absolutely.
If
they were partying and doing coke on an island with a 30-year-old prostitute, not classy, but that's not who I...
Wait, that's not classy? That's the definition. I thought that was literally the definition of classy. Private jet to a private island doing cocaine with a 30-year-old escort? That is the definition of classy. I'm sure there's some classy champagne there, too. Just fuck out of here.
All right.
I think the idea... Listen, I don't care who it is, right? I don't care who it is. If you've got video evidence or if you've got direct evidence of someone, you know, doing inappropriate shit in this situation, then they need to be toast.
Absolutely.
Right?
I don't know. There is no... I've never heard anyone argue against that. I'll be curious to see who gets their name brought into this first, and if the dominoes start to fall, and how many of them do.
It seems too good to be true in terms of getting kind of to the, you know, I mean, there for years there have been conspiracy theories about, you know, high level government, high money, you know, child pedophilia
right?
And you know, if you were able to shine a light on that, then I'm all for it. I feel like this is too good to be true, and she's going to end up dead, or she's not going to have anything, or all the tapes mysteriously disappeared, and we're going to end up with a lot more questions than we do answers, right? Or the proof isn't going to be, it's going to be like, all right, this is some guy's hairy back, you know, right, on a grainy VHS video from 2002. It doesn't, I have no right. idea who that is.
And
you know?
Also, there's some danger to, you know, wanting the vigilantes to get out there, because the guy, what was the pizza, Cosmic Pizza or whatever in D.C.?
Yeah.
So some idiot hears, I think, Alex Jones rant about how Hillary Clinton is running a child pedophilia ring in the basement of this pizza place. And this guy grabs guns, drives a couple hundred miles, and literally holds them hostage until they release the children. And it's like, we'll give you a double pepperoni.
Right. Like, there were no children. I don't even think the place had a basement.
I think that's correct, actually.
Or whatever it was. I mean, that's a legitimate concern as well, because you don't want people to take it into their own hands that they're going to go get so-and-so senator or so-and-so actor or whatever,
right?
And even, you know, the Hollywood people, I don't really give a shit about in terms of, like, if you put yourself in this situation, but no one should be the victim of vigilante justice, right? Like, I don't care if it's Trayvon Martin or if it's, you know, some actor, you know, Matthew McConaughey, just throwing a name out there. Like, no one should really, like, we have a criminal justice system, and that's where justice needs to be meted out, right? Not at the hands of, you know, wannabe, you know, comic book characters on the street.
Right. Now, there are certain people that I care about enough that if you fuck with them, there might be some vigilante justice, but that's on an individual level, and I'm not encouraging it.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So we're going to call it quits there for now. Thank you for listening. Please listen to this, hopefully before Tucker Carlson does his thing, but whether before or after, pay attention to what he said. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram.
Hopefully, Giselania Maxwell is still alive.
There's that. We're publishing this at 4 o'clock on a Sunday. hopefully before. Yeah, anyway. At Whiskey Congress on social media. Jim at WhiskeyCongress.com if you want to email me. Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com if you want to email him. Thank you for listening. We're done.